This is George.
And this is Donna.
And this is currently with George and Donna. Oh, what's that sound you hear in the background?
You hear that, babies?
That's waves crashing. Why? Because we finally did it. We've been talking about it forever, not on the podcast, so you're just going to have to take our word for it. We have been talking about taking a vacation to the Indian Ocean.
To the Maldives.
To the Maldives.
And we did it, babies.
We did it, babies. We are here in the Maldives, and we did it right.
We sure did.
I mean, I didn't know how right we were doing it because I said, go ahead and book it, like just a month ago because we were able to.
I was the one who put 17 years worth of research into it.
It felt that way, but we've been talking about it for ocho años.
Yes.
8 years we've been talking about coming to the Maldives, and I didn't really have any kind of expectations. So the next time I come to the Maldives, I'm going to have a heck load of expectations. But I didn't have any expectations. We came out here, and it is and has continued to be absolutely amazing.
Spectacular. I would try to describe the sunset to you right now, but I can't.
Increíble. I just did.
I can tell you that I booked us an overwater bungalow.
Yeah.
With its own plunge pool.
She's not lying.
Attached to it over the ocean. So right now we are actually inside of a little plunge pool on top of the ocean watching the sunset.
Hence the impromptu actual voice intro versus the computer electronically synthesized music to start the session.
But we didn't have time to wait to get home to tell you guys about this trip.
Oh, no.
Because currently we are here. So why wouldn't we want to tell you currently about this magnificent trip?
Okay, so how do I describe it? As you like nicer things, so I'm more of a like a simpleton.
Buddy, you like nice things too.
I more live the life of the normal man, you know.
What?
Yes, and so I'm able to describe to
We're
people.
We're both normal people. What are you talking about?
No, you're a normal person, but you like nice things, is what I always say about you.
Yeah, but I got champagne taste on a root beer budget. I don't have enough money to buy all the things I want to buy.
But okay. So I'm explaining it as a man's man, salt of the earth kind of guy.
George, you really need to get some confidence.
Okay. Because I don't have enough.
Exactly.
Because I don't live my life fully confident all the time.
Exactly.
And so I need to add more to that?
Yeah.
Okay. I started doing crazy things, it's because I needed to add more confidence to the already confidence.
So what are you bragging about now, being an everyman?
I'm not bragging about it. I'm saying that I am an everyday guy's guy. You know what I'm saying? Salt of the earth. You know, I love that saying.
I would say let me feel them hands to see if you're a man's man, but I know they're puckered from being in the pool too long.
Oh, no, feel them.
No.
These are working puckered hands.
No, those are misleading.
They've been in the water fishing all day long.
You never fished today.
Not today.
You went snorkeling.
So as an everyday man's man, basically it is the picture that you see in all the movies, that you see in magazines, that you see in pictures, that you see in Corona commercials.
No, that's Mexico.
Yeah, no, but you know, like that landscape, beach, beautiful palm tree.
This is better than that.
Yeah, it's better than that. And so that's what this place is. And like I said, I didn't have any expectations when I got here. It was a very long trip to get here, almost 20 hours plus.
Yeah.
Travel.
It was a lot. We, on our honeymoon, we went to Tahiti and Moorea and Bora Bora. And we thought that was a long way. And we thought we were in the middle of nowhere on that trip. But this trip actually took us a lot longer to get here.
Yeah.
Because when we went to Bora Bora, we flew from New Orleans to LA, which was about, what is that, like 5 hours or something? Mm-hmm. And then I think it was 7 or 8 hours from LA to Tahiti. Well, this trip, we flew two and a half hours to New York. Then we stayed at New York overnight, one night, so that we can get up for the international flight. A 12-hour flight from New York to Doha, Qatar. And then a 5-hour flight from Qatar to Maldives.
And then
a 30-minute seaplane trip from Malé's airport to directly to our hotel. Our hotel has a little floating dock out in the sea.
And then a boat comes, picks us up.
The seaplane lands and it lets us off on this little floating, literally like a 12 by 12, like little floating dock in the middle of the sea. And then a boat comes from the hotel and picks you up with your bags.
Okay, so one of the things, okay, that sounds romantic as heck as you describe it. But in reality, it's a little bit of a pain in the butt.
I'd rather take
just like a seaplane lands in the middle of the ocean to a dock. Yeah. Then a boat comes and picks up our suitcases and brings us to the airport. No, in real life, it's a little bit of a pain in the ass. I'd rather take a flight to... this is still PG-13 if I say that. I'd rather take a flight directly here from New Orleans. If I had a choice.
Oh, my word. I don't think there's an engine or a gas tank big enough.
There has to be.
A fuel tank big enough to get to that level. Of our jets now.
But, that would be crazy. No. I wanted to be able to land at our villa.
Oh, you wanted to take the biggest, like, what is it? Like a 767?
I
don't know what it is. Yeah. You wanted that to take off from New Orleans and land directly on this
island? Right. I wanted to, like, land in the water right here, and then we swim. To our villa.
Please don't say that. That would not be good.
No, in my mind, that's the way to do it. But yeah, it sounds very romantic, like seaplane landing. But these guys are barefoot flying this plane, and they don't have their hands on the wheel, which is surprising on such a little plane. They're just talking to each other with their hands not on the wheel.
Well, it's the same thing for pilots of bigger jets. They don't.
But there's no
autopilot. How do you know the seaplane didn't have a little autopilot?
I don't know, because I feel like I fly in drones, right? And my drone, you have to control everything. If like the wind pushes it, it tilts a certain way. And if I let my hands go off the controller, it'll still fly, you know, at the level that I left it. But it begins to drift a little bit to one side or the other, depending on the wind. And that's when I felt like they would put their hands back on the wheel. When there was like a little... Okay, we were tilting a little bit. All right, back to level. You know? So that's why I thought. Because autopilot pretty much will keep you level.
Yeah, I thought they just set a trajectory and they just let the plane kind of, for the most part, do it.
Yeah. And obviously, if drones have it, airplanes have the technology to auto-level. And yeah. Even with the wind conditions as they are. But
Anywho,
barefoot pilots flying the plane, and again, it sounds very romantic, but it's a little bit of a pain. You're like going through all these customs, and they're weighing your stuff, and there's not clear signs. You have to ask a lot of questions or whatever. But look,
actually,
the sacrifice we have to make to come to paradise.
I feel like customs in Maui was super easy. We literally just walked up to the desk. There was no line, and the guy stamped our passports, and we went on in. They didn't weigh our bags until we went to get on the seaplane. That's when they weighed our bags. And they charged us $20. They said we were overweight by 5 kilograms. What?
Yeah, because they weighed our carry-ons.
They weighed
our carry-ons. So we were very meticulous to come under 50 pounds in our suitcases. And, well, we were off by like one or two pounds.
It was 4.5 kilograms.
Yeah, and we had to shift something to the other suitcase that was under.
Yeah.
And that worked out fine. But what we weren't expecting was for them to weigh our carry-ons, which they're smart.
They did that only for
the
seaplane.
That's really smart, though.
They only did that for the seaplane. And what are you going to do? Tell them, no, I'm not going to pay the $20? It's just
fly
a way for them to make money.
I want them to fly me back.
You know. It's called Maldivian Airways or something like that, the seaplane company.
Anyway, enough talking about plane travel. We get here, and again, we're greeted by somebody, and we walk into the villa, and we have this nice little walkway over this lagoon. Beautiful just water, beautiful huts, and then we walk into the hut, and it blows me away. I had the same feeling of when we went to Positano and you got that bed and breakfast. That was like, it's just a bed and breakfast in Positano. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a big deal. And we walk into it and it's the most beautiful view from the an inexpensive bed and breakfast because it's everything's on a hill. And so everything on has a cliff, view. On a cliff, sorry. And everything has a beautiful view. But this was... It was something out of a dream. And I got even more excited that we had a good long stay here, like 7 days.
No, we don't just have 7 days here. We had 8 nights and 9 days.
What did I say?
7 days.
Okay.
8 nights is a long time in 9 days. Really 9.5 days.
The babies get what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
It was an amazing amount of time that we got to stay here and enjoy it.
So, I'm sure parts of it will come up later, but we've gotten to do some really cool things. Of course, so I got it all inclusive. So, all meals, all drinks, everything is included. Also, because I booked what's called the Sunset Pool Villa, which is the one with the little pool on it over the ocean, we got access to the club level here. So I've been drinking my weight daily in champagne.
Yes.
Because it's the only place on the island that you can get French champagne, unless you bought a bottle of it somewhere else. Mm. But they give it to us for free as part of our package. So every day we've gone there, pretty much every day, to relax for at least some bit of time, right? Mm-hmm. So we do that.
It's kind of very private too, which is really nice. There's no kids running around.
It's special service. It's beautifully decorated. It's got its own private pool.
Its own beach access. Some days it's been, I mean, like, there's been a weird kind of hot here.
Yeah.
Like freezing up my Kindle because it's so hot outside.
Yeah, it'll get really hot and humid here. Even though we're in September, it'll get really hot and humid here, which you want on a beach or ocean vacation. But it's nice to take a dip in that pool if it gets too hot. So there's like four restaurants at our resort. There's an Italian restaurant, a Thai restaurant, the Reef restaurant, which is like buffet style.
Yeah.
And teppanyaki, which is like a special sushi service that they do.
And not sushi. It's more like...
Hibachi.
Hibachi.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more hibachi.
Hibachi, sorry.
Colorful character behind that.
Right. So we've been having different meals every day. And on top of the all-inclusive meal and drinks part, this has also included some spa credits. So we've gone to the spa a few times. I've been twice. George and I have both been twice. And I got a Maldivian massage, and then I got a Balinese massage today. Tomorrow I'm going again to have a Thai massage, which I'm really looking forward to. Oh, I didn't tell you, George. I said, what should I wear tomorrow? Because a Thai massage, I've never had one. Apparently they don't use oil. It's like a stretching massage. I said, what should I wear? She's like, don't worry. We give you special Thai pajamas. And I was like, what? I'm looking forward to
that. What are Thai pajamas?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it.
I can't help it but think it's minimal.
No, because they have to, they stretch all your muscles out, so they cover you up. Like, it's pajamas. Like, pants pajamas.
Oh, okay, cool. Hopefully you can keep it. That'd be a good memory.
Oh, I hope so. So, anyway.
You won that, too. Well, we didn't win it. Somebody else won it, and they didn't want it.
We played bingo last night, and somebody else won. I was like one card away. I think a lot of people were.
Yeah.
But somebody won, but they didn't have time to use it, so they gave it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Anyway, I digress. So the spa has been included for the most part, and then excursions. So I'll just tell you briefly the excursions that we've done. And George, you can talk more if you want. Okay.
Yeah.
So here were the excursions that were included that if you had to pay separately for them, who knows how much they would have been.
It would have been expensive.
There was a sunset cruise.
Which we got rained on.
We could redo it
if we wanted to. We just chose not to.
Right.
Because it was kind of cool. I mean, I know it was raining, but that was one of our first boat rides.
George felt like he was a pirate.
I felt like I was a pirate. Like, the sea life was for me.
Yeah, it was, like, raining on him in the sunset. And he was eating it up. Like, he kept sticking his head out the boat window like a puppy in a car. anyway, So there was the sunset cruise. There was the snorkeling trip, which we did today, which was awesome. We snorkeled around a reef. It was fantastic.
An hour, and they didn't. What I love about them here is that, like, you were in America, they'd be like, don't go beyond these cones. Keep in the sight of your own guide at all times.
Oh.
They're a little bit more wild
here. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, another excursion was going to see whale sharks. Well, they don't guarantee that you'll see one.
It's
they
50-50.
Do tell you can go back again if you want to. But we went on the whale shark cruise. We didn't see a whale shark, but we chose not to go back again because it's kind of far to get out to the part of the ocean where you're supposed to see them.
And it's
them.
A slower boat. It's not like a speed boat.
Right. And they ended up letting us jump off the boat and snorkel anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it felt like we got our money's worth on that. We didn't even pay
that
for that.
That was a turtle video.
Yes, we got a video on George's GoPro of a sea turtle on that trip.
Yeah. His name is Ghani, like his father before him.
We didn't see any whale sharks, but we snorkeled and saw some beautiful fish. So, okay. So there's also...
Oh, we did the local excursion.
Yeah. So yesterday was the local village. So they take you to a local island. They let you see how people live. All I have to say is, praise the Lord, I was born in America.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that.
Rough.
I'm very grateful.
Trust.
And then they sell their wares. So we bought a couple little gifts for some
family
members.
You like, I was totally in the bargaining spirit. Like, I'm going to offer $20 on this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's just part of me.
There's
these little
painted coconut bowls that we're going to give to our family. And they were like $15 a piece. But if you bought more than one, you got like a discount to $12 a piece. So it's going to be $24. And George looks at me and goes,
I'm going to offer them $20.
I said, give these people their $24. Look at how they live. They live such as simple lives in these like little, like, shanty town huts. Just give them their money. Like, why would you want to talk these people down?
No, and it's in George's blood, so
he couldn't help himself. But
yeah.
I was like,
but
no.
I recognized it. I didn't argue with him. I said, okay, cool. And so we paid them.
Just give
it was
them
hard
money.
To pay full price for something that I knew I could negotiate.
But
I came across this Island Mon. Bracelet, like this leather bracelet with the strings like that you tighten up, kind of has a very islandy look, but it has an Iron Man little symbol,
mm-hmm.
metal thing attached.
It looked like it had been sitting in that shop since the first Iron Man movie came out in 2008, but it stole George's heart. He loves it, so I asked,
I was like, how much is this? And I swear he was gonna say $15 or something. He said $5. I'm like, I'll take it. And I could see the regret a little bit in his eyes that he said $5 versus $10. Because he knew I'd probably pay attention for it.
Right.
I could tell a little bit, but no, it was a great deal.
So was that all the excursions? We said whale shark,
whale
sunset.
Sunset cruise.
The island, the snorkeling. Wasn't there something else?
Oh, fishing.
Oh, the fishing trip. It was the best one.
How can
one.
I get it? Yeah, it was
How
my favorite. Okay, because we're going to talk about favorite parts so far. Because we still got half a day tomorrow, but...
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite part, it was on the fishing excursion. It is salt of the earth people out here, right? They don't have big fishing rods and things like that.
Mm-mm.
They have this spool with fishing rod on it.
No, fishing line on a spool.
With a weight.
And then they hook
a tuna up to it.
A piece of tuna.
And you just like, they show you exactly how it holds on the inside of the spool so your hand doesn't get caught. Let it sink to the bottom, pull it up 3 feet or so, and then just wait.
Yeah.
And then slowly bring it back up.
Anytime you feel a nibble, you just yank yank on the fishing line. So there's nothing else for you to hold on to. You just kind of hold the fishing line and yank it.
It's very surprising because it kind of makes you think, like, you don't really need...
Yeah, just a very rudimentary
fancy setup with fishing.
So George caught a beautiful... blue fish with yellow
fins. We think
fins.
It was either a sturgeon fish or a unicorn fish.
So look those up, babies, if you're near a Google. A sturgeon fish or a unicorn fish. It's a blue
in the
fish
Maldives.
With yellow fins. He brought it in to the boat.
Yes.
Everyone
I was very
cheered.
Excited because people were catching. They started catching, and I was like, watch me not catch one. bro. Like, I love to do this outdoor. Yeah. And I haven't, you know, New Orleans fish for a good bit. And I kind of almost, one of the reasons I kind of stopped was like, I wasn't catching anything. But, yeah. But in this case, I freaking caught one. And it's thrilling.
It was the most beautiful fish that anyone caught on the fishing excursion. And it was a big fish, too. It was probably about a foot long.
Yeah. So about what? I would say 16 people went and about 7 people caught fish.
6 or 7, yeah.
6 or 7. I'm including you because we're going to discuss that shortly. Mm-hmm. But there was one guy that was in his head, man.
He was in his own head.
He's like, I keep feeling them nibble, but I don't have the reflexes to pull it up.
My reaction time is too slow. That's what it is.
And they were really trying to help him. Yeah. All the guys were like, really.
You can tell he felt bad. Yeah.
And then his son or relative or friend or whatever caught one. And it was this wily fish.
Yeah.
And it was snapping all around. And then it cut him with its tail.
Yeah, the fin swooped up and cut the guy's arm.
So everybody came really quickly. They cleaned it up. They put a bandage on. And I remember seeing his eyes as we were to the island like, hopefully this thing didn't
poison me. Not Spider-Man, but like Fishman.
Anyway. You caught something as well.
Okay, yeah. So George catches his. Everyone cheers.
Clapping.
And clapping. It's like, great job. Okay, maybe another 15 minutes goes by. George catches his at sunset, too. I have it on video. The sun's beautiful, peeking through around George as he's holding up his fish.
We're setting up a YouTube channel. More to come later on, babies.
Yeah. So you'll be able to see that later. But, then night falls. Then my fish decides it wants to be caught. She only come out at night. So I feel a little tug on the line. I'm like, what could this be? So I start wrapping my line around my spool. I feel a tug again. Wrap it a little more. Feel a tug. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I have a fish on this. Whatever it is, it must be a small one because it's not fighting hard, you know. So my line was all the way out, so I'm reeling and reeling and reeling around my spool, reeling and reeling. Finally, I pull my fish out of the water. It's about maybe 5 inches long. It's a little fish, 4 or 5 inches long. All of a sudden, the guide yells, "Stop! Don't touch it!" And I'm like, "What? What?" He's like, "Poisonous." And then George is like, "Poisonous." I'm like, "Wait, it's poisonous?"
So I get close in for a shot because I want to see this poisonous fish.
George has my phone and he's videoing it. This fish is about 5 inches long with about two inches big wide diameter eyes.
Wide as heck.
These eyes were wide open. If you've ever seen Finding Dory, the movie, and you've seen the bird Becky... The weird bird Becky that's just like kind of wackadoo.
Cuckoo for Cocoa
Puffs. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And just real strange. And you don't know if she's okay in the head. This is what that fish looked like, but in a fish version. And he was like, "Don't touch it. That's poisonous." And I said, "Wait, what? It's poisonous?" And that's all I really had time to say. And he just comes over with a nice knife and cuts my fishing line. To where my hook, my bait, my weight. Everything goes into the ocean off. Along with Becky.
"What kind of fish is that?" He's like, "I don't know, my friend. I don't know."
He's like, "Not good.
Not good."
So they're telling George earlier, you can eat your fish. So whatever you catch, we bring it to the chef at the resort and the chef will cook it however you want it. And you can have it for lunch or dinner tomorrow. Well, my fish... He's just like, "Don't touch it." It comes, cut my line, goes right back in the ocean. I'm like, I can't even eat it.
And you see it floating off in the distance.
Poor fish. Poor Becky. I think it just died because he wasn't even able to take the hook out of its mouth to let it go back into the ocean. He just threw the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was just floating there. I felt bad for Becky.
That was freaky as heck.
That fish was freaky.
That scared me.
You know what it looked like? It looked like a deflated puffer fish. Like maybe it was a puffer fish but deflated or something.
I don't know.
It looked really weird. But anyway, they would not let me take a picture with it. George got it on video, but no standing there with a proud moment. Nah. They just said, "Becky gotta go.
Becky
can't be on this boat.
Get Becky the hell out of this ship."
Anyway, the next day, long story short, George ordered his fish... cooked whole, grilled.
Yes.
And he ate every bit of it.
Anyways, I named it Scotty. mm-hmm. like its father before him.
Right.
And it was delicious. I bathed Scotty in butter. Mm-hmm. And I ate that sucker. I ate him so good.
Anyways, we did one more excursion. It was not part of the all-inclusive,
but we
chose to pay to do it because neither one of us has done it before, and that is scuba diving lesson.
Scuba diving lesson. I've always wanted to do it. It's always looked cool because anything, like, adventurous with gear,
George is all about it.
It's all about it. Like you said it, I almost didn't wear the wetsuit, and you're like, you're not wearing the wetsuit? Because that seems right up your alley. And I said... Give me the wetsuit.
Yeah, he wasn't going to wear the wetsuit at first. He was just going to go in his swim trunks. I'm like, wait, you're not wearing the wetsuit?
And it's as I thought it was. You feel like a superhero in that thing.
Yeah. So I'll just tell y'all what happened to me, babies, so that maybe it'll help somebody if you ever go scuba diving. Okay, I'm a fish normally. I love the ocean. I can't stop talking about the ocean. I like beach trips. I love swimming. I'm never afraid in the water. Never, ever. So... we learned some skills. It's like the sign language skills underwater for how to tell people you're okay. If you want to go up, if you want to go down, if you're having problems, if whatever. We're learning all the sign language. And we learned also how to recover our breathing apparatus.
Regulator, yeah.
Our regulator. If you lose that in the water and you need to grab it and recover it, we learned that. We learned how to ascend and descend. We also learned how to clear your mask underwater, just in case for some reason your mask gets flooded with water. Well, okay, we've all put on a mask, a little mask, whether it's when we were kids or whatever, to swim in a pool, right? Well, you just come to the surface. If it clouds up or you get water in it, you just come to the surface, you fix it, you let the water out, you put it back on, you go ahead and swim. What never occurred to me, because you never really see this on movies or TV, that a diver's mask could get water in it deep down. It just, for some reason, didn't occur. So when he was like, I'll show you how to clear your mask. I'm like, okay, cool, how to clear our mask. Well, the way you do it, I'll try to describe it in words, but say the bottom of your mask, you're swimming in deep water, underwater, and the bottom of your mask starts filling up with water to where you can feel it like right under your eyes or something within the mask. Mm-hmm. You need to get that out of there. So the way you do it is you put your palm on the top of your mask, hold it tight to your forehead, lift the bottom of the mask away from your nose at the same time that you're blowing hard bubbles out of your nose. So if and you tilt your head up toward the sky or toward the top of the ocean slowly. So what that does is the bubbles that you're blowing out hard from your lungs is pushing the water out of your mask. And when you tilt your head back, the water is able to flow out along with the bubbles. Easy enough, right? So we go under, he showed us how to do it on dry land. Well, then we go in the water and we're not far down doing our exercises. We're maybe like 4 feet underwater. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, we're going to try everything we learned on land.
One at a time.
One at a time. So first, recover your apparatus, take that out of your mouth,
not
do this, do that, you know, show me your sign language. Then it's time to clear the mask. Okay, great, here I go. Well, he can see that we're not, the guide can see that we're not completely clearing it. You don't feel it, but you might have like a millimeter left of water on your, under your mask, mm-hmm. like underneath your eyes, right around where your nose is. You don't feel that, but it's there, and he can see it when he's looking at us. So he made us do it a few times. Like, no, do it again. Put your palm on the top of your mask. Push your head back. Blow out hard out of your nose. Clear your mask. So I'm doing it a few times. Well, one of the times I did it, the water that was in my mask went straight down my nose. Mm. So I stopped blowing out hard with my nose air. And let go for a second, and the water that was still in my mask, gushed, I want to say trickled, but kind of gushed right down my nose. And it's salt water, so it burned really bad. And there's this thing where you're underwater. You're not on the, you can't cough. You can't cough. Mm. You can't cough. You got a regulator in your mouth, so you can't cough. You can't spit. You can't go... you know, in your nose and like that noise you make to get salt water out. So the salt water was just sitting like in my sinuses, like sitting in my, between my nose and my throat. And I didn't know what to do with it. And it was burning. And I'm like, where do I put this water? It's just there. It's in my nose. And I can't cough. And I can't, you know, I can breathe in my apparatus, but
everybody's reliving this moment with
yeah,
you right now.
It was scary. So I'm like, where do I put this water right now? And then I'm telling the guide the sign language for up is a thumbs up. So you never, to say you're okay when you're scuba diving, you never use a thumbs up to say you're okay, because that means go up out of the water. So you use the okay symbol. So I kept doing the thumbs up, like, I got to go up, I got to, and he kept shaking his head no at me and just trying to tell me just breathe and calm down. And I kept shaking my head no and going, I need to go up, I need to go up. Because this water is just sitting there in my sinuses, in my nose. And finally, he lets me go up. He has to deflate.
He gives me the okay symbol first. And so they leave. Everybody leaves me down there.
Everybody leaves George down there. So I go up. He has to deflate my... Inflate my gear to get me to rise to the top. Even though we weren't that far underwater. So I rise and I take my goggles off. And I'm like, I had to explain to him. I'm like, I just got a bunch of water down my nose when I was trying to clear the mask thing. And it was burning, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I don't know what's going to happen when I'm 36 feet underwater.
Right.
Oh, because here's the other thing, babies. You can't just ascend and swim to the top if you're feeling like you need a cough.
You need to regulate.
You'll get the bends.
Equalize, yeah.
You need to regulate and slowly ascend to the... Yeah, equalize and slowly ascend to the surface. So if you feel like you need a cough underwater, too bad. You can't. You got to wait and come up slowly.
Right.
So... Then I get in my head and I'm like, what happens if I need to clear my mask when I'm down there? Because I was fine until I had to clear my mask, because that's when I tilt my head back and got the water in my nose. Well, I'm like, what happens if I need to clear my mask while I'm 36 feet down, like 12 meters down? You can't cough. You can't whatever if you get nose water. So I start getting in my head. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do it. You guys do it, because I don't like that feeling. I don't like the feeling of not being in control. I was fine with this until I realized, what if you need to cough when you're underwater and you can't? And then the guide was really good about it. He was like, well, take it slow. I know you're nervous, but just, you don't have to breathe in your nose. You never have to breathe in your nose. And I'm like, well, duh. I know I'm never going to have to breathe in my nose, but it doesn't change the fact that I got water down my nose on accident.
Mm-hmm.
So then I sat there for a little bit, and I said, George, I really want you to do it. I'm in my head about it. I'm freaked out. So they both kind of bobbed with me for a second, and they were both like, we'll go slow. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. I just had to, like, overcome that feeling that I felt.
Well, it's a scary thing.
When water gushes down your nose?
Just scuba diving.
Oh, in general?
In general, is a scary thing. So,
yeah.
So, something like that happens to you, that's totally 100% understandable.
Yeah, before I even got down deep, water ran down my nose.
Right. And so you're much more conscious about it.
And I was like, wait a minute, that can happen? I didn't know that could happen. You never think about having to clear your mask.
Yeah. So, what I loved about it was that... obviously, all the gear, the instrumentation. So we started equalizing as we went down, and it just felt cool.
So the other thing I did, so when I decided I'm gonna do this, when nobody was kind of looking before we went down again, I took the straps on the side of my mask and I pulled them so tight. My mask was so tight because I was like, I'll be darned if I'm gonna have to clear my mask underwater. If my mask will just stay tight and not let any water in it, I will be good. And sure enough, I was. So after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And so we start to slowly descend, equalize. We take a minute. I don't realize that he keeps looking at what I thought was his watch, but it's a diving computer, which I later find out. So I'm even more intrigued. Diving computer? Right up my language.
George,
I need
said,
one.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. I get to buy another electronic thing and add it to my collection of electronic things that are really cool. And we slowly descend, and then he starts to kind of guide us around, and it's amazing down there.
Yeah. Once we got down there, you feel the pressure. Okay, so my mask is already tight, because before I went back underwater again, I tightened the crap out of my mask. Well, when you get down that deep in the water pressure starts pushing on the mask, it's even worse.
Yeah.
And you can feel the pressure in your ears, on your skin, like on your mask. And it also feels like your regulator kicks in more when you're under all that pressure. Did you feel that?
No, I didn't feel that.
Like, when I put my head straight down, like, the water just flowed into my lungs from my... It was, like real easy to breathe.
Oh, okay.
In my regulator. I didn't know if it was from the pressure or what, but you feel it. Like, one of my ears felt it more than the other, and it started to hurt a little bit. And then I, he also teaches you, you know, how to pinch your nose. Like, how you pop your ears, you know? You pinch your nose and blow air.
Yeah.
I did that a couple of times, and then I was fine. But once you get down there, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just a completely different world.
We saw two sharks.
Yeah.
We saw a school of, three little, not little, big manta rays.
Yeah. That was...
We dove off the reef at the diving center, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it was right there, and we got to see a lot of that, which was really, really nice.
It was
fantastic. I mean, it's right near the thing. We didn't have to, take a boat anywhere.
It was on our island. It's, some of the best diving, they say, is on off of our island, because we're, surrounded by reef, and that's where the fish live, you know? You see pictures of Maldives where it's, this... Looks like giant swimming pools of just crystal blue with sand underneath, which we do have some of that here, and it's gorgeous, but the cool fish live at the reefs, so you really gonna want to be around a reef to do cool diving. So if anybody's going scuba diving for the first time, don't freak out. Practice clearing your mask before you go, I would say to anybody. Look it up online, like YouTube or something. Practice it first so that you're not freaked out like I was when I felt the salt water in my nose. But other than that, it was awesome.
Yeah, so you no longer need a scuba diving instructional. You could just listen to this podcast before you go for it. So this is part one, guys. We're going to do two parts of Maldivian trip. Maldives.
Are we Maldivians?
Yeah, if you're here more than... The rule is, if you're
Maldivian.
Here more than...
Deviant.
Went more than 72 hours, you are an official member of the Maldivian community. They have really low standards to get in.
That's bad on bad. Maldiviant? That's bad on bad.
But it doesn't end with a T. It's
Maldivian. No, but I just said that.
Yeah. Well, babies, we love you very much. Thank you for listening on this extra long podcast, one of two on Maldives, our Maldives trip.
Yay!
Next time, we'll talk about our favorite parts.
Yes.
About some of the benefits, pros and cons of all-inclusive. Some of the little extra things that we did that really made it special. And then... anything else we can come up
anything
with.
Anything else that comes to mind.
All right. We love you. Bye, babies.
Burn out. Burn out. Burn out. Burn out. Burn out.